First Samuel chapter 10. So God has decided to go along with Israel's desire to have a human king, although it wasn't what he really wanted. And he's chosen Saul. Now Saul was not really a very strong believer or a spiritual person, but God has chosen him and his spirit could change Saul. So Samuel, verse 1, took a jar of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head, kissed him and said, Yahweh anoints you to be ruler of his people Israel. So the idea was the Spirit of God is going to be active in your life. Later on, we're going to read that God gave Saul another heart. This was all the work of the Spirit. You will rule his people and protect them from their enemies, and this is the evidence that Yahweh has chosen you to be the ruler of his people. Notice it keeps saying that they are still God's people, and any leadership in the church or amongst God's people is on God's behalf. The people don't belong to the king or to the pastor, they belong to God. When you leave me today, you'll meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Zelzah in Benjamin. And they'll tell you that the donkeys that you were looking for have been found, so that your father isn't worried anymore about them, but rather he's worried about you, keeping on asking, what am I going to do about my son? And from there, you're going to go to the holy tree at Tabor, where you will meet three men who are on their way to sacrifice to God at Bethel. One of them will be leading three young goats. Another will be carrying three loaves of bread, and the third will have a bag full of wine. They'll greet you, and they'll offer you two of the loaves, which you will accept. Then you are to go to the hill of God in Gibeah, where there is the garrison of the Philistines. Entering the town, you'll meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place on the hill with harps, flutes, and lyres. They will be dancing and shouting. Suddenly, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will join in their dancing, and you will be changed into a different person. When these things happen, do whatever you are led to do by God. You will go ahead of me to Gilgal, where I will meet you and offer burnt sacrifices and peace offerings. You are to wait there 7 days until I come and tell you what to do. So, this man who had not been very spiritual, who didn't even recognize Samuel when he met him, even though Samuel had been going around teaching the people, this person who was not a spiritual person, God took over. But, although God's Spirit took control of him, the important thing was, yes, he was changed to be a different person, but do whatever God leads you to do. And in the end, that is not what he did. And because of that, all this pouring out of the Spirit upon him didn't achieve what it was intended to. So, when Saul turned to leave Samuel, God gave Saul another heart. Now, this is still really how God works today, working with us to change us and to give us that strength and power beyond our own ability to be different people, to look at life differently. It's like having a new pair of eyes. Everything Samuel told Saul happened just as he said that day. When Saul and his servant arrived at Gibeah, the group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came and took control of him, and he joined in their dancing and worship. The people who had previously known him said to one another, what has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? So again, you see, he was not known as a spiritual person. One man who lived there asked, how about these other prophets? Who do you think their fathers are? And so the saying came about, is Saul among the prophets? That is what is said when somebody who is not known to be very spiritual suddenly, apparently, becomes a believer. When Saul had finished his prophesying, he went to the high place on the hill. The uncle of Saul saw him and the servant, and he asked him, where have you been? I've been looking for the donkeys, Saul replied. When we couldn't find them, we went to see Samuel. Saul's uncle asked him, and what did he tell you? Saul replied, he told us that the donkeys had been found. But he didn't tell his uncle what Samuel had told him about the kingdom. And again you wonder, well, was that his humility? Or was it actually that he was not really in his whole heart and soul committed to what God had asked him to do? It's an open question. It's rather like we read at the beginning of chapter 9 that Saul was a powerful man from one of the most powerful families in Benjamin. And yet when Samuel says to Saul, look, you're going to be king, he says, oh no, who am I? I'm from one of the weakest, smallest, most insignificant families in Benjamin. Well, that wasn't the case, but you ask yourself, well, was Saul just being humble, saying, oh no, I'm a very small person? Or was he in fact making that an excuse? Oh, I'm too humble to do God's work. And that's the question that is left open to us. And it's the same here, when his uncle asks him, and so what did Samuel tell you? He just says, about the donkeys. He doesn't tell him that he's been called to be king, and we don't know why that was. Was that because he was humble, or was it because he actually really wasn't that committed to it from the start? Samuel gathered the people together unto Mizpah, and he said to them, Yahweh God of Israel has said, I brought you out of Egypt, delivered you from the Egyptians and all the others who were oppressing you. I am your God, the one who saves you from all your crises and difficulties. Today you've rejected me and have asked me to give you a king, a human king. So gather yourselves before Yahweh by your families. Then Samuel made each tribe come forward, and Yahweh picked the tribe of Benjamin. Then Samuel made the families of the tribe of Benjamin come forward, and the family of Matri was taken. Then the men of the family of Matri came forward, and Saul, son of Kish, was taken. They looked for him, but they couldn't find him, and so they asked the Lord, is there somebody else in view? But the Lord replied, Saul is over there, hiding among all the baggage. And again, you wonder why Saul was hiding. He was the tallest man in Israel, don't forget. It's a bit hard for him to hide. Why was he hiding? Well, I think he was hiding because he didn't really want to be king. But you could say he was hiding because he was so humble. He didn't want to be king.
He was hiding because he was scared to be king.
Right, you think he was hiding because he was scared to be king. Well, I think you're probably right. But you could say that he was being humble. And what we've got to learn is that we can't say, oh, I'm too humble to do God's work. No, that's just making humility an excuse. So they ran and they brought Saul out from the baggage to the people, and they could see that he was one head taller than everyone else. Samuel said to the people, well, here is the man whom the Lord has chosen. There is none like him. And all the people shouted, may the king live long. Samuel explained to the people the duties of the king and wrote all this in a book, which he put in the holy place. And then every man returned to his tent. Saul also returned home to Gibeah. And there were some men whose hearts God had touched who went with him. But some bad people said, how can this fellow do us any good? They despised Saul and didn't bring him any presents. Well, again you see that there were people whose hearts God had touched. We're getting the impression all through here that God is working directly on the hearts and minds of people by his Spirit. And that is still how he works. He can give people attitudes. He can make things happen. For example, a man notices a leaflet, a tract that's been dropped on the street, and he bends down and picks it up. Well, what made him want to do that? Well, I guess you could say God, and then he picks it up and thinks, oh, this is about Jesus. Well, I never knew that sort of thing. All the time, God is working in our lives, and it's by his Spirit that's how he does things. But the important lesson from all this is, as Samuel says to Saul, do whatever God leads you to do. And that is unfortunately not what Saul kept on doing.